you know, the children of Israel divided after the death of Solomon. People rebelled against his son Rehoboam, and Jeroboam became king of northern 10 tribes, and Rehoboam retained the kingship over 2 tribes. Jeroboam set up idol worship, and from the time of Jeroboam on, the northern tribes, Israel, were unfaithful to God. They did not serve him. They worshiped idols, and some kings were worse than others. There was a king named Ahab. 1 Kings chapter 16, we read where Ahab, the son of Omri, became king of Israel. And it says that he was exceedingly wicked. And then it says, if that's not enough, he went to Sidon and he married the king's daughter in Sidon. And the Sidonians worshipped a god named Baal and a god or goddess Asherah. Now, what made those gods and goddesses so detestable is these were two of the gods and goddesses that they offered human sacrifices to. But Ahab went down to Sidon and he offered sacrifices to these gods and goddesses. And then because of that, he came back and he built a temple for the worship of Baal and a temple for Asherah. And it says that he was the most wicked king that had been up to his time. There was a prophet of God named Elijah. Elijah went to Ahab and he said, because you have been wicked, because you have turned away from serving God and you have worshipped idols, God is not going to allow it to rain, excuse me, until I say so. Over in the book of James, we read that Elijah prayed to God and it did not rain for 3.5 years. But Elijah told Ahab this, and sure enough, it quit raining. Now God told Elijah, he said, I want you to go get away from here, because he knew that Ahab would be seeking his life because of what he had done. And so he went down to a brook, and there God said, I'll take care of you. You do what I tell you, I'll take care of you. And so he did, and he went there, and sure enough, he was able to drink from the brook, and there were ravens that brought him food every day. Every morning they'd bring him food, every night they'd bring him food. And finally, though, because of the drought in the land, the brook dried up. He said, I want you to go to Zarephath, and there you'll find this widow lady who will take care of you. And so he went to Zarephath, and as he went into the town, there was this lady out there, and she was picking up sticks, and he said, ma'am, could you get me a drink of water? He said, sure. And as she started to get him some water, he said, and while you're at it, how about bring me a cake? Bring me some bread to eat. And she said, well, now that's a different story. He said, because of the drought and everything that's happened, I have just enough meal and just enough oil left to make one piece of bread. And my son and I are going to eat that, and then we're going to die. We don't have anything else. Elijah said, don't worry. You just do what I tell you, and God will take care of it. You'll go in and you'll make me the bread and you bring it to me. Then when you go back, there will be more oil and there will be more meal, and you will be able to continue to make bread. And as long as this drought continues, God will provide for you. And so she did. Now, I want you to think about that. That was a great step of faith on this lady's part. This widow of Zarephath took the last that she had, and she made it for Elijah, this prophet of God. She brought it out to him, and when she went back, sure enough, there was oil and there was meal in the jar and in the place where she kept the meal. And as long as she was able, because of the drought, as long as the drought continued, she had food to eat because she had taken care of it. But then one day her son got sick. And the sickness just got worse, and finally he died. And she called Elijah, and she said, look what you've done. I thought you had come to do me good, but you've done me harm because my son has died. Elijah took the boy, and he said, just let me have the boy. He took him up to his room, which was upstairs to his bedroom. He laid down across the boy and he prayed to God. He prayed three times to God to give this boy life. And sure enough, God gave the boy his life. Elijah was able to bring him down and give him to the mother. She said, "Surely I know that you really are a prophet of God." And so Elijah was able to accomplish a great deal. And now all this time, the drought's going on. It's getting worse. It's been now a little over 3 years that the drought has been in the land. Everything's drying up. There's been absolutely no rain, not just a little bit, no rain whatsoever. Not even any dew on the ground. And so one day, King Ahab told his servant, who was one of his top officials, a man named Obadiah. He said, "Obadiah, I want you to go one direction. I'm going to go the other. We've got to see if we can find some water. Maybe there'll be a little bit of green grass and we won't have to kill our horses and our mules, and maybe some of our cows can be spared if we can just find a little bit of water and a little bit of grass." Obadiah was a faithful man. He had served God. In fact, Jezebel, on one occasion, had tried to kill all of the prophets of God that were in Israel. And Obadiah took 100 of the prophets and hid them in a cave, in actually two different caves, and had 50 in one and 50 in another, and he had provided them with bread and water so that they could live. And so Obadiah had been faithful, even in the face of defying the king and the queen of Israel. He had been faithful to God. And so he goes one direction and Ahab goes the other direction. Elijah comes up to Israel to where he might see them, and sure enough, he runs into Obadiah. He said, "Obadiah, I want you to go tell Ahab, King Ahab, to come, and I'm going to meet him." Obadiah said, "Man, what have I done?" He said, "There's not a kingdom in all of the world that King Ahab hasn't searched for you. He has sent messengers to every place, and he has made the people swear that they have not seen you, that they're not hiding you, that they don't know where you are, and I know what's going to happen. Just as sure as I go tell King Ahab that you're here, and he comes, the Spirit of the Lord is going to catch you up and take you someplace, and he'll kill me." He said, "What have I done to deserve this?" Elijah said, "No, I promise, I'll see you. You go get him, and I promise I'll be here when he comes back." And so he went, and he got Ahab, and Ahab came. And when he saw Elijah, he said, "Behold, is that you, you troubler of Israel?" You see, Ahab viewed Elijah as the one who was bad. After all, Elijah is the one who said it wasn't going to rain. After all, Elijah is the one who brought the drought. And so he's blaming all of his trouble on Elijah. And Elijah says, "I'm not the one who has troubled Israel. You have done that by refusing to serve God. You are the one who brought trouble because of your refusal to worship God and by your continued worship of these idols." And today we see people who do exactly the same thing. When things are not going well, they want to blame the one who is serving God for the problems rather than accepting the blame for themselves for what they have done. Very often, someone who tries to correct someone or show someone where they're wrong is accused of being the one who is bad because they have told them something they didn't want to hear. But Elijah told Ahab, he said, "I tell you what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to gather up 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah, and you bring them to Mount Carmel, and we're going to have a contest." So sure enough, Ahab did. He said, "Call all of Israel together." And so he called all of Israel together. So now the people are all gathered around, and Elijah looks at everybody, and he says, "Now you tell me, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the Lord God, or are you going to serve these idols?" And the people were silent. Nobody would stand up for God. Elijah said, "Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do then. We're going to have a contest. We've got two bulls, and we're going to give one of them to these prophets, and I'm going to take the other bull. They're going to put their bull on an altar, and I'm going to put my bull on an altar. We'll put wood under it, but we will not put any fire to it. And whichever God can send fire to burn up the sacrifice, that's the God that is the true God. And the people said, that sounds good, we'll do it. If Baal sends fire, then we'll worship Baal. If the Lord God sends fire, we'll worship the Lord God. And you remember the story how that the prophets of Baal prepared their offering first, and they put the bull on top of the wood, and they began to cry out to Baal and said, send fire, Baal. But Baal didn't send any fire. They began to pray, and they began to shout, and they said to their God to send fire, and they pleaded with him. And finally, about noontime, he still had not sent fire. Nothing had happened. And Elijah sort of began to taunt them a little bit, and he said, maybe you need to holler a little bit louder. Maybe he can't hear you. You know, after all, he is a God. Maybe he's all on vacation or something. Maybe you need to really cry out loud and get his attention. Maybe he's asleep. And so they began to cry out even louder, and then they began to cut themselves with their swords and their lances, as their custom was, and they were doing everything. Finally, it came time for the evening offering, and nothing had happened other than a huge commotion. And Elijah repaired the altar that he had built for the Lord using 12 stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. These men apparently had torn it down in their frenzy. He rebuilt the altar. He had them to dig a trench around it. He said, go get a big jar of water. And they put the wood on it. They put the offering of the animal on top of the altar. And they poured the water over it. He said, go get another pail of water. And actually it was a big thing, a container of water. And they got it. And they did it again, and the third time. And finally, they had poured so much water that the whole trench was standing in water, and everything was soaked. And Elijah prayed to God a very simple prayer. He said, Lord, send fire from heaven and show them who is God. And fire came from heaven, and not only did it burn up the offering, not only did it burn up the wood, not only did it dry up all of the water, it even burned the stones up from which the altar had been made. And the people said, the Lord, He is God. And so Elijah said, take these prophets and let's kill them. And they took these prophets and they took them down to the brook and they killed all of these false prophets. And the people said, we will worship God. Elijah told Ahab, said, you better get started heading back home because it's going to rain. He went up and he looked out over the sea and he knelt down and seven times he knelt down and he prayed and he looked out over the sea and finally he asked his servant, said, what do you see? And he said, I see a cloud. It looks like about the size of a man's hand. He told his servant, he said, you go tell Ahab he better hurry. This fixing to be a hard rain. He won't be able to make it home. And so Ahab took off in his chariot just as hard as he could go. James tells us that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then he says, Elijah was a man of like nature as we. In other words, he was just like us. He prayed to God that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed to God, and the rain came, and it poured. What James is telling us is that if we will serve God, we can pray to God, and God will do things. A lot of times we begin to think, well, you know, God does miracles, and this is a miracle, and that's a miracle. But if you think about what happened here, it was absolutely nothing other than just the providence of God and the power of God being shown. Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain. Elijah prayed that it would rain, and it did rain. Now, there's nothing supernatural about a rain cloud coming up over the sea and coming into the land and it raining. It happens every day. But God had withheld that, and now He allows it to happen. And we see the power of prayer as it is demonstrated here, and even how God uses what we call nature to answer prayer. The Spirit of the Lord told Elijah, run. And he ran ahead of Ahab and outran the chariot to get to Jezreel. When he got to Jezreel, Ahab told Jezebel, his wicked wife, what had happened and how that Elijah had killed all of her prophets. And she sent word to Elijah and she said, my soul will be like theirs if you're not dead by this time tomorrow. She was determined that she was going to kill Elijah. God told Elijah, said, just get up and go. And so he took off running. After a while, Elijah got to a place and he sat down under a juniper tree. It was about a day's journey into the wilderness after he had already gone for quite some time. And he sat down under a juniper tree and he said, God, just take my life. He said, I'm not better than my father's. And so he laid down under the juniper tree and he went to sleep. An angel came and touched him and said, Elijah, you need to get up. You got work to do. And there was a bread cake that was baked and it was at his head and there was a jar of water, so he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he arose and he ate and he drank and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days. This is, just in case you didn't know, this is the first time we ever read anywhere about angel food cake. And he ate that cake, and it must have been a doozy because it lasted him for 40 days. If you want to go on a diet, just eat angel food cake and then don't eat again for a month and a half and you'll be good. But he ran for 40 days. Now, get this picture. Elijah's all despondent. Elijah has just won this battle with all of these prophets. He's on top of the world and now all of a sudden he's back down at the very bottom. And so he goes and he hides in the cave and God says, what are you doing here? He said, I'm the only one that's left. More pitiful me. There's nobody else that loves God. I'm the only one that's left, and I'm all by myself, and I'm ready to die. Just kill me. God said, you're not the only one left. There's 7,000 people that have never bowed the knee to Baal. But Elijah is hiding in the cave. And there was this great, strong wind, and the Lord was passing by. The Lord wasn't in. And then there was this earthquake. And the mountain shook, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then after the earthquake, there was this great fire that came through. But God was not in the fire. And then Elijah heard this small, still voice. And he knew that was God. You see, sometimes we think God has to appear like Naaman did in some great, fantastic way. But God came to Elijah in just a small, still voice. Elijah hid his face with his mantle so that he would not be seen by, and he wouldn't see God. And God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? He said, they've killed all of your prophets. I'm the only one left. He said, no, you're not. He said, Elijah, I've got work for you to do. So he told him what he wanted him to do. Go and he was going to anoint Elisha as his one that would follow him as a prophet. He was going to anoint Hazael king over Syria. He was going to anoint Jehu as king over Israel. He had a lot of work to do. And the problem today many times is that when we reach a high, we come off of it and we reach a low. And we become discouraged. We begin to feel sorry for ourselves. And we think, I'm ready to give up. Nothing good I can do anymore. But God still has plans for us. And we need to realize that the Lord is with us. And the same God that caused it to not rain for 3.5 years caused it to rain. And that's the same God that provided oil and meal for the woman in Zarephath. It's the same God that raised her son from the dead. It's the same God that sent fire from heaven. And that's the same God that we worship today. And He's there for us. And we'll face our battles and we'll face our contests. We'll face those that oppose us. We'll face those that will help us. But whatever we face in life, God will be there with us if we're trusting Him. Tonight, if you're here and you're not a Christian, then you need to trust in God. Trust in Him with all of your heart, confessing your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, turning away from sin in repentance, and then be buried in baptism. And when you do that, He's promised that He'll take away all of your sins, and you can have a home in heaven when this life is over. If you're here this evening, your subject is invitation. We invite you to come as we stand.